Laudato Jesus Christus. This is the English program of Vatican Radio.
Hello and welcome to this special New Year's edition of our English feature program. Coming up in just a moment, we take a look at Pope Benedict's message for the World Day of Peace, calling for greater efforts to bridge the gap between rich and poor. Plus, we hear about a very practical example of promoting education and development in an area of Africa devastated by decades of civil war. Fighting poverty to build peace. That's the theme of Pope Benedict's 2009 message for the World Day of Peace, celebrated on January the 1st each year. Appropriately at this time of global recession, Pope Benedict calls for a more ethical approach to economics, fairer trade regulations, and an end to short-term financial policies which fail to consider the common good of both rich and poor. Let's listen now as Sean Patrick Lovett reads to us from the Peace Day message for 2009.
In today's globalized world, it's increasingly evident that peace can be built only if everyone is assured of the possibility of reasonable growth. Sooner or later, the distortions produced by unjust systems have to be paid for by everyone. It's utterly foolish to build a luxury home in the midst of desert or decay. The reference to globalization should also alert us to the spiritual and moral implications of the question, urging us, in our dealings with the poor, to set out from the clear recognition that we all share in a single divine plan. We are called to form one family in which all, individuals, peoples, and nations, model their behavior according to the principles of fraternity and responsibility. One of the most important ways of building peace is through a form of globalization directed towards the interests of the whole human family. In order to govern globalization, there needs to be a strong sense of global solidarity between rich and poor countries, as well as within individual countries, including affluent ones.
Drawing on the teaching of his predecessors, Pope Benedict explores some of the many factors affecting the growing gap between rich and poor in today's world, from the current food crisis to epidemics like AIDS or malaria, to the need for a reduction in arms and increased spending on development.
States are invited to reflect seriously on the underlying reasons for conflicts, often provoked by injustice, and to practice courageous self-criticism. If relations can be improved, it should be possible to reduce expenditure on arms. The resources saved could then be earmarked for development projects to assist the poorest and most needy individuals and peoples. The Christian community will never fail to assure the entire human family of her support through gestures of creative solidarity, not only by giving from one's surplus, but above all, by a change of lifestyles, of models of production and consumption, and of the established structures of power which today govern societies.
The World Peace Day message, sent to heads of state around the world, is released by the Vatican's Justice and Peace Council and was presented this year by Council President Cardinal Renato Raffaele Martino. He told my colleague Lydia O'Kane about the particular importance of this message at a time of worldwide financial crisis.
That's right. It's important because there are different reasons, causes of the poverty. And the Holy Father tries to indicate the causes of the poverty. And that is very important that different elements be taken into consideration and the problems solved.
He deals with many issues. He talks about the concerns with regard to child poverty, with regard to epidemics, with regard to a number of different issues. But he also talks about the finance issue and how it's up to the world of finance to take responsibility to help fight in poverty. How difficult do you think that will be in this moment when governments are looking at their own populations, when they're looking at their own countries, when there is a financial crisis for them? Do you think that it's now they need to redouble their efforts to help fight poverty?
For sure, because, in this era of globalization, the poverty, the problem of one person, of one country, or one region, is the problem of everybody. Because we saw this financial crisis going on, and so why this happened? Because the market was abandoned to itself, and so there was absolutely no control. The only rule was profit and more profit, and so this is immoral, because the market has to have the possibility to be under control by governments, by civil society, by the authors, the members of the market, those who are in the market, the entrepreneurs, etc. They have to be in control, and because the way it was going, the only rule was profit and only profit. But this is not the absolute rule that must prevail. And so all the profit must be also given to the co-authors, the workers, for instance. They must have a participation in this.
While refuting claims that population control is the answer to poverty reduction, the Peace Day message says a common code of ethics to promote global solidarity must prevail, with investment in education, development and wealth creation that includes even the most marginalised sectors of society. Cardinal Martino again.
There is no reason to fear the overpopulation, because we see that developed countries, especially the European, are under production of babies, because in order to keep zero population growth, every single woman should produce 2.2 children. And everywhere in Europe is 1.2 or little more. And so you see very well that those countries have need the help of migrants, because they help to keep the standard. As for the production of goods for alimentation, etc., for food, etc., we see that the heart is very generous. For instance, Argentina now produces for 46-47 million, but only Argentina could produce food for 500 million people. So just to say that there is no concern for the lack of food. And again, we see that among those countries who recently have come to good standard of development, etc., the new countries, there are countries very much populated. And so this is not a problem for them.
Finally and briefly, I just wanted to get your thoughts on the Pope talks about the Church's closeness to the poor and the Church's social doctrine with regard to the poor. And I just wanted to get your thoughts on that aspect of the message.
Because, you see, Jesus was very near to the poor. And taking care of the poor doesn't mean to make discrimination. No, it's the way the Church put into life the command of Jesus to help those in need. You see this parable at the Last Judgment. I was sick and you helped me. I was in prison, you came to visit me, etc. And so Jesus identifies himself with the poorest of the world. And this is his teaching, that we have to help those in need, the poor, those who suffer hunger.
Cardinal Renato Raffaele Martino is president of the Pontifical Council for Justice and Peace. In the World Peace Day message for 2009, Pope Benedict stresses that effective ways of redressing the marginalisation of the world's poor will only be found if people everywhere feel personally outraged by injustice and the violation of human rights. Only, in other words, if each one of us takes truly to heart the problems of the poor and resolves to do something concrete about them. Well, down in Naples, a group of doctors have already taken that message to heart, supporting in a very practical way a medical faculty in Gulu, northern Uganda, in an area devastated by over two decades of conflict between government forces and the so-called Lord's Resistance Army, headed by guerrilla leader Joseph Kony. For years, most of the population lived in makeshift refugee camps, dependent for survival on international aid agencies. Though the situation has greatly improved over the past year, it'll take a long time to overcome the grim legacy of violence, kidnappings, and destruction of homes and villages. But in the midst of such hardship, Gulu University is an important symbol of hope for the future of the region. Set up in 2002, it opened its doors 2 years later to a new faculty of medicine with the support of doctors from Naples University here in the south of Italy. The pioneering project, known as the Gulu NAP Initiative, was recently recognised by the Vatican's Justice and Peace Council for its work in support of human rights and poverty alleviation. For the award ceremony here in the Vatican, Professor Luigi Greco from Naples University came along with the Vice-Chancellor of Gulu University, Professor Jack Mieko Penmoji, and with the Dean of the Faculty of Medicine there, Jasper Ogurolo Keng. I sat down with the three of them to find out more about the origins of this inspiring project.
I first met Professor Nyeko in my office in Makerere in Uganda in January 2004. He was looking for a dean to go and help him set up the Faculty of Medicine.
You were already working in
Yes,
as
I've
a
been
doctor.
Working as a doctor and a head of department in Makerere University. I'm a pharmacologist by training. And also basically a medical doctor. So when I met Professor Nyeko, we agreed. I agreed to go and help set up the Faculty of Medicine. And a week after that, he introduced me to Professor Luigi of the University of Naples.
What kind of relationship do you have then with the University of Naples? How does this practical cooperation take place?
We have a memorandum of understanding with the University of Naples.
Yeah, signed by the rector,
University of Naples.
So now, when I came in, this memorandum of understanding had set out what responsibilities Gulu had to do, what Naples had to do. And Naples had a lot of support in technical support. The first, what I call, stream of lecturers and professors actually came from University of Naples. When we started, I think on the 5th of October, when we started the lectures, the bulk of the professors were all from University of Naples. So the arrangement was in such a way that the young lecturers we had in Gulu were greatly supported by the professors from Naples. They would come and stay for a few weeks, set up everything, and then at the beginning of every semester they were always coming. And they still keep on coming.
Tell us a bit about the conditions that you're working in there. As you know, here, the news we get from Gulu is nearly always bad news. We hear about the difficult conditions, the continuing conflict, the problems of the refugees. What kind of conditions are you working in there at the university, at the faculty?
Actually, that was also my fear. My home is very near Gulu town. It's 1 hour away. Despite that, I was always scared. But since the time I went, 2004, the only difficulty was sometimes along the main road from Gulu to Kampala. there would be some scare, but I didn't experience any problem. The ambushes had stopped. And even as I stayed now in Gulu town, the only problem which everybody would get scared about is that we used to have this phenomenon of people coming to sleep in town. In the evening, people are streaming, children and women are streaming to come and sleep in the town, looking for security. But within the town itself, the activities, if you went there but by midday in Gulu, you wouldn't believe that that is a war zone.
So the security situation today is quite safe?
As Professor Wall was saying, the security situation had been very bad, the way you have all been hearing. But when you are within town, within Gulu, you know, municipality, the security had all along been relatively good. And that's why every evening those days we could get children coming from the homes to come and sleep within the town. So it has not affected development projects like starting a university. We never had any incidents, serious incidents on our students. And this is supported by the fact that even before Gulu NAP, we started this project, there were already medical doctors from the University of Naples, led by Professor Luigi, going to Gulu to work in Lecho Hospital. And as you know, the Easter of Lecho Hospital, Dr. Corti, an Italian who established that hospital, and he had worked there all along until his death, together with his wife. So all in all, the insecurity had been there, but this would be more of Gulu district, Gulu as a district. But Gulu as a town, it had been relatively safe.
And the outlying district today, do people still come into the town seeking security?
No, the outlying area, including Gulu town itself, there are no more children coming to sleep within the town. Even those who have been staying in people displaced camps, many of them are now going back to their homes. The only disappointing thing is that Konya has not signed the peace agreement. So it makes people worried. The population is not sure whether Konya will not come back to start destabilizing them. And that's where they are still fearing going back, debating whether they should go back to the rural area or continue staying in camps.
And while this uncertainty continues, it's difficult to get any kind of real development projects underway, I imagine.
Especially in the rural area, yes, becomes a little bit difficult, especially, you know, for the people to go back and start cultivating so that they get their own food. They have been depending on World Food Program supplies. But now, with the relative peace, many of them have gone back. The World Food Program has stopped giving them food, and they are producing their own food. The only problem is that having been under insecurity for 20 years and knowing very well that Konya has not signed the peace agreement, they are still apprehensive. They are not sure whether this peace is going to be total or is going to be disrupted.
Tell us a little bit about the medical conditions that you're seeing the most of, the kind of problems you're dealing with most frequently.
Yeah, in Gulu, like most of Uganda, the problem is the same. You have child malnutrition, malaria. Some time ago, there used to be outbreaks of cholera when people were cramped in the camps. Then the other problems were really traumas because of the war. We used to get children who were abducted and beaten up, and a few cases of gunshot wounds. Of course, the rates of HIV and AIDS, that's a well-known pandemic, and apparently, we found it easier as a public health workers to work in Gulu because people were put in the camps and easy to reach. When you want to mobilize them, it's very, very easy. So cases of immunization for the children and the cases of antenatal care for mothers has been relatively easy. In fact, Gulu, during the difficult time, had the highest rate of success in the maternal health and the rate of immunization, because everybody's cramped up in one place and it's easy to reach them. With time in the camps also, hygiene was improved because there was water made available, so that it's not as bad as one hears from outside.
Tell us about the kind of progress then. You're also talking about malnutrition, but that presumably is improving too a little if people are beginning to cultivate now.
Yeah, apparently in areas where people have gone back, people are now having food. People have produced food. But then what the problem now is that when people were in the camp, it was easy for us health people to reach the people. But the last report from, I think, UN, we found that now there are increased medical problems with people who have gone back because they are not easily accessible. Mm-hmm. Gulu University has responded. We have our students now completing the medical doctor's program, but our training was really heavily based with the community. And we are now having our students going to cover some of those health centers where people have gone back. And I think it's a very significant way of addressing the problem of lack of the health workers, because the health workers had also run away. But we're having our students now covering most of the health units in Gulu District.
Professor Greco, Luigi Greco. You have been very involved in this project from the beginning, haven't you? Yeah. Tell us a little bit about the involvement of Naples University with this project in Uganda.
This was the dream of Pietro Corti, the founder of the hospital, St. Mary's Hospital in Lachua. But unfortunately, he died before seeing this action to be taking place. And I took the lead from him to be committed to help Professor Nieko to set up Faculty of Medicine. And when I was called in December, 12th of December 2003, because it was available a fund from a sale of rice from Italy to Uganda, I enthusiastically planned with him to build up this faculty. Went back home, and my rector, Professor Guido Trombetti, accepted the challenge without ever being in Africa. He actually helped me to write a memorandum of understanding to support the birth of the faculty. And the faculty was open with very little means the 4th of October 2004. From that single day, we've been regularly attending the faculty with 38 Neapolitan professors giving for free lectures, compact courses of lectures to the medical students, and supporting the growth of the Ugandan faculty with Ugandan lecturers and professors, which is now well set up. We have 32 professor staff in the Ugandan Faculty of Medicine, and we have 310 students, and 58 of them will see the graduation ceremony next year.
What does this cooperation mean to you personally and to the other doctors here in Naples? What does it add to you, perhaps, at a professional level, being able to cooperate with this developing program in Africa?
Well, I was personally already involved in this malnutrition business. I am a child health man, professor of pediatrics, so I developed malnutritionous meal to support malnutrition in Uganda 3 years before that. So I just continue to do my own work. It's nothing more than that. But this challenge was very important for the Italians. All of them experienced a wonderful relationship with the students. They actually found the motivation of their work in Uganda 10 times more than what they found in Italy. Because the students answer, participate, they study, they are committed. You see the real thing, which is a bit dispersed around us.
Naples, of course, has its own problems here in Italy, doesn't it? The health system, particularly in that part of
Italy. Actually, this helped because of my experience in Naples was the key of success with the children and teachers, because we know how to solve problems, you see, without having much resources.
You're being awarded this prize in this ceremony commemorating the 60th anniversary of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. What is perhaps the significance of this for you and for your work?
Well, today is a very important day because we are now building the future of this adventure. We are now supporting the future of this adventure. We are building up now, we just had a meeting, setting up the foundation of the postdoc, which is crucial in Africa. You have to set up an environment to allow medical doctors to stay in the place and not leave for UK,
very easily over Australia or South Africa.
What kind of motivation do you have to give them to encourage them to stay?
Motivation is one side. We do a kind of honourable pact to after the fellowship for 5 years. But we are trying to set up conditions, which means postdoc and facilities to work as residents, so job places. And this is the thing we are very committed. The Italian cooperation is now supporting the establishment, the reinforcement of local hospital in order to give to those students the chance to stay and to improve there.
What about for you there in Uganda, in Gulu? What does this recognition of your work mean?
Yeah, I think I was first of all scared to go to Gulu. But at the end of it all, this is a kind of recognition of what I call the sacrifice. Because the time I went to Gulu, I left my family in Kampala. I left my job in the university. I was a head of department. But at the end of it all, this recognition is, I can call it the climax now of my profession as a medical educationist. It's really a climax of it. It's giving me more impetus to actually continue and serve in that relatively, in fact, very, very much deprived community.
The nomination which we are receiving took all of us by surprise. We were not doing this project to win a prize. So, you know, if somebody takes you by surprise, you get very excited. At the same time, you get very humble. Because first of all, how did anybody know about Guluna project to be nominated? So all these are questions which one needs to ask. So all in all, we are very grateful for this nomination. And it has sort of humbled us, and it has sort of also, it's going to encourage us to work even harder. Not for another nomination, but the fact that the humble work we were doing was recognized, you know, by an international institution like the Vatican, it gives us a lot of courage to work even harder.
As Professor Nieger just said, we're not receiving a nomination by a nation, by a single institution. I saw what Vatican is doing in Africa, how his role is crucial for development. And so to be part of this development and to be recognized to be part of this development for us is very important, because this will really strengthen our initiative and push us to go forward.
And my thanks there to Professor Luigi Greco from Naples University, to Professor Jack Nieko Penmoge and Professor Jasper Ogwal Okeng, both from the University of Gulu in northern Uganda. And that's all from me, Philippa Hitchin, and from all of us here at the English Programme for today. From all of us at Vatican Radio, may I wish you a very peaceful and happy New Year. Laudato Jesus Christus.